Father, we just come before you now and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your presence. Lord, even though we are flawed, our flaws are temporary because you're building us up to manifest us to be sons with no sin, to be sons and daughters, that we might manifest your kingdom, Lord. And I thank you that your kingdom is eternal, Lord. And I thank you that your adoration for us is eternal. And Father, I just pray that we would eat from you today, in Jesus' name, just like the resurrected Christ. He served up a breakfast for the disciples. The disciples that were cowardly, they ran away from him. They didn't understand. And your response was to cook them a meal. So I pray, Father, that even though we've fallen short as your precious children, you would feed us today. By your Spirit, you would feed us. Help us to be fed, Lord, that we might be filled to then follow you in obedience. Not to just receive information, but to actually be led to follow you in whatever you have for us. And I thank you, Father, that in Christ we are kept. We're kept in Christ. Thank you that you continually apply your blood. Just like a computer's just refreshed and refreshed. We refresh our browsers, Lord. And that points to how you refresh us all the time, continually applying the blood of Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, anything I say today that's not of you would just be set aside. And that which is of you, Lord, would encourage us as we follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool, so I'm excited today to talk about God. It's good to talk about God, isn't it? And this year we've been looking at the Holy Spirit on and off, as many of you know. If you're a guest with us today, that's what we've been doing. And so we're going to continue that this morning. So as a quick reminder, just to refresh our memories, because I need my mind and memory refreshed as well. What we've covered so far, we've seen who the Holy Spirit is. We've seen that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is real and wants to have a relationship with us. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've looked at why the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come to help us in our relationship with God and with each other. And the Holy Spirit has come to engage us and help us engage with others in our lives. We've also looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whereby all born-again believing Christians in Christ have the Holy Spirit. And from that place, God invites us to be baptized with the Spirit and to be filled again and again and again with this Holy Spirit continually empowering us for the Christian life. And to that end, we also looked at our ongoing dependency on the Holy Spirit. This isn't like a one-time engagement with the Holy Spirit. We're constantly depending on the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This dependency, this poverty in spirit, that we're constantly depending on Jesus by his Spirit. And last time we looked at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I got a bit excited because I started to realise that when you look in the Bible, it says that Jesus moved in the Spirit without measure. If you look at the life of Jesus, he seemed to be able to engage in the Spirit without measure. So healings and miracles and words of knowledge and teaching. And then now, as the body of Christ, we can manifest the gifts of the Spirit together. And so not all of us are going to manifest the Spirit without measure. We have limitations, that's the reality. But between us, as a body, as the body of Christ, we can manifest the Spirit. So some of us might prophesy, some of us might teach, some of us might have the gift of hospitality. Somebody might have a really generous heart, and all these kinds of things. Between us, as a church, as a body, we're manifesting the Spirit almost without measure. And so it's good for us to explore the spiritual gifts and get this into our consciousness and look for ways that we can exercise these gifts and to build each other up, because that's what these gifts are for. And they're important, and they don't appear to be an optional extra. And we need the Holy Spirit's help. All of us need God's help. We need to be encouraged. And I believe we want to be a church that has the Holy Spirit in action through us, because we can't live without God. And to that end, when I speak, for the foreseeable future, I'm going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And today we're looking at the spiritual gift of prophecy. And I'm going to say a few words. I put few in inverted commas. And then Samoy is going to help us with an exercise. And there's different exercises you can do to help exercise the gift of prophecy. And Samoy is going to help us in one of those. So if we can have on the screen 1 Corinthians 14 verses 1 to 3. You can turn to your Bibles, or we've got it there. The Apostle Paul is instructing a church in a place called Corinth, and he says to them, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. Now, the church in Corinth had many issues and many problems. And one of them being that the Spirit was manifesting among them, and there was little or no order as to how the presence of the Spirit was going to be stewarded. And it wasn't that God was going to be put in a box, that, you know, they were going to fix him in that sense. But Paul wanted clarity about the presence of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, so in order that people would experience God more powerfully. Because we kind of think, oh, it needs to be chaotic because God's not in a box. But actually, the way God works is when he brings clarity and order in a framework, from that place we can experience God more powerfully. And Paul said he didn't want them to be uninformed, so he instructed them. So looking at these verses, it's important for us to lay the foundation of this talk and in our hearts, and remember that when looking at the gifts of the Spirit, our foundation is the love of God. So Paul says, follow the way of love. Without love, we're a clanging gong and a crashing cymbal. Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, said the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And so we need to stay focused. We need to keep coming back to love. Because the reality is, the empowerment to love God comes from God, such as our dependence on Him. And the second commandment is like it. It says, love our neighbour. We need God's help to love those around us. Jesus actually said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments of love. So sometimes when we're reading the Bible, think, how does the law fit in? How do the prophets fit in? What's going on in the history of Israel? Sometimes it's good to just say, okay, I'm going to carry on learning about that, but I'm not going to forget that the whole point of this is to love God, be loved by God, live in that love, and love those around me. That's our foundation. And Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. So we need to stay focused on this throughout everything we do as Christians. But particularly in the context today, thinking about gifts of the Spirit, we're following the way of love. So it's important to keep coming back. And there are different types of love, aren't they? Love tends to be a bit of a buzzword in our culture. And there's a really helpful book by C.S. Lewis called The Four Loves. And he says there's a philos love, which is like a brother and sisterly love. There's an eros love, which is romantic. There's a storge love, which I really like. It's the love you have for an old pair of slippers or an old jumper. That's a good love. I like that love because I have jumpers and I don't have slippers, but I have jumpers that I just love. Does anyone get that? You just kind of put the jumper on. It's like, oh, I love this. But the love we're talking about here is agape love, which is a different kind of love. It's a divine love, and it's a self-sacrificial love. And we are to embody this love, because this is the love that God has for us. It's a love characterized by self-sacrifice in the pursuit of another's good. And Christ is our ultimate example of agape love. As we remember this morning, through the cross, Christ demonstrated the ultimate sacrifice out of love for us in the pursuit of our good. Because he pursued that to save us from separation from God. That's the love of God. And the Holy Spirit empowers that love in us, albeit imperfectly at the moment with all our flaws and mistakes and all the rest of it. That's the Holy Spirit love inside us. There's no flaws in God. And we follow that way of love, and we aim to follow God in that love, in that agape love, as God instructs us today through Paul. So as we follow the way of love, we're called in this verse to eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And so through the way of love, most of the gifts are actually primarily for the benefit of other people. It's because we're following the way of love, eagerly desiring gifts of the Spirit, so we may see other people blessed. So thinking about following the way of love, it's important for us to remember that we're looking to exercise gifts of the Spirit, not to bring attention to ourselves, to say, I'm going to pursue the gift of prophecy so everybody sees what an amazing prophetic gift I have. The whole point of these gifts is to build others up. So following the way of love, we're eagerly desiring the gifts because the love of God is in us to bless others. That we might see other people encounter God's heart. That we might see other people encounter God's healing and blessing through us. And what an amazing privilege that God wants to do that through us by His Spirit. And of course, we get blessed when others are blessed, don't we? This is about agape love, self-sacrificial love in the pursuit of the benefit of others. So we follow the way of love, and Paul says we eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So let's look at prophecy. And to help us explore prophecy, we're going to ask three questions. The first one is, what is the gift of prophecy? The second thing is, how does the gift of prophecy work through us? And number three, what are some important points for us to consider about the gift of prophecy? And I've just noticed what I've done there. It's quite funny. I made it look like 3 points, but the third point is more points. So I'm just so clever. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, question one, what is the gift of prophecy? So New Testament prophecy can be described as a Spirit-empowered speaking of the Word or the heart of God to a person, or more often a group, for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. Because as we've read, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. And You might wonder, what's the difference between Old Testament prophets and prophecy and New Testament prophets and prophecy? And I'm just going to be open and honest here and say that I'm still working through this bit. I suppose essentially I'm working through all of it, but I began to see that as we're studying into the Word once a month on Saturdays, we're actually looking at the next session about Old Testament prophets. And one of the things I've learned is that Old Testament prophets and prophecy, they're all speaking through the context of the Mosaic Covenant. So there is a distinction between Old Testament prophets and Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy. So all the sometimes we read the Old Testament prophets and it's speaking about blessings and curses and this kind of really hard, harsh stuff. That's all in the history of Israel through the context of the Mosaic Covenant. But now Christ has come, we're living through the New Covenant. So this whole thing takes on a new flavour. Well, that doesn't mean that we don't honour and follow the Lord by the Spirit, looking at the Mosaic Covenant and the Old Testament prophets. But now we're seeing all those things through the lenses of Christ, through the lenses of the New Covenant. We're in a new place. And so that's the difference. So in New Testament prophecy, we're set free in Christ, as we've looked at today. We're righteous in Christ. And now God, by the Spirit, has empowered us to open the door and actually speak His heart to people in the New Covenant. And that's good. That's good for us. So I just wanted to say that, because sometimes you kind of think New Testament prophecy, Old Testament prophecy, what does that mean? And that's where I'm at with that, and that's what I believe. So Paul says a gift of tongues, and we're going to talk about the gift of tongues later. That's a gift whereby we speak in a special language to God. But prophecy is a gift given towards people. So tongues is Godward. So we're speaking to God. And even sometimes, as we look later, somebody might bring a corporate tongue, and then it's interpreted and it's all to God. So the interpretation would be, Lord, we love you, and whatever the Lord is stirring in our hearts to speak to Him. But prophecy is to people. So the spiritual gift of prophecy is when a spirit-filled, born-again believer in Christ is given an unction and an inspiration by the Spirit to speak the heart or word of God to people or to a person, to build them up, to give them courage and strength and comfort. So question two, how does the gift of prophecy work through us? So Paul says we eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. So we pursue the way of love, and in that place God wants our hearts to be hungry for gifts of the Spirit. He wants hearts that are eager for God, for more of God, eager to experience God, eager to see others blessed. So God is looking for hungry hearts. He's not going to force us to exercise these gifts. Sometimes we might stand there going, Lord, make me do something, make me, force me. But actually what God is looking to do is to stir our hearts and inspire us. And it's as we act and speak out that the Lord moves. So God is not going to come and make us do things. He wants our hearts to eagerly desire Him and for His gifts to work through it. That's an important dynamic for us to grasp. It's as we act, it's as we step out, it's as we speak that He takes hold of what He wants to bring through us. And it's a partnership with God. You know, essentially it's not us doing it, but we're part of it. It's God stirring us up and we step out in partnership with God. And He takes hold of what He wants to bring through us. And that applies to all the gifts, but especially prophecy. And it takes boldness and courage and faith on our part for these gifts to move among us. I know Samoy recently is many of you have seen. She's been bringing words to us. And she's felt an unction in her heart to bring a word, and she'll bring the word. And it's only when she begins to speak that the Spirit moves and blesses us. And there was a time when she was speaking and she was calling us back to first love. And it was as she took the bold step to come up here and call us back to first love that I was just at the front, just weeping. Because it was like a loving conviction to come back to what really matters. To come back to first love. So it was only as she stepped out that the Holy Spirit took hold of that and blessed me. It doesn't happen every single time she speaks. But that's just one example. Another example, if you don't mind me saying, Ruth, is when she brought that word about a brick with the word hallelujah on it. Do you remember that? And she was saying, this is how I read it, how the brick was heavy, and so this brick with hallelujah written on it, it's a heavy brick, and we're trying to worship, but the brick is heavy, it's hard to carry. And when Ruth spoke, she was saying it was hard to worship, and then she was giving encouragement about where we need to seek help where possible, but to keep lifting our arms and to keep praising. And she said the hallelujah may not get lighter, but our arms will get stronger. And that really just touched me there. And that's the prophetic gift in action. It was strengthening me. It was encouraging me and comforting me. And I know it's been doing the same for others. Even Abigail, what you said this morning, that's an example of the Lord stirring someone up, stirring you up, and you taking a bold step to speak it out, and as you spoke it out, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of that and blessed us. You could just tell that there was a shift in the atmosphere. Now, you could have kept that to yourself. You could have said, fine, and you know, you're still a daughter of the King, God still loves you, but it's as you stepped out that the Lord took hold of it and blessed us and sowed seeds. So you could have stood there and said, Lord, make me do it. But it's you and him walking in partnership. But there is a sense where you have to step out. And you did. So well done. It was a massive encouragement. Because the Holy Spirit stirs these words of encouragement up in us for a person or a group. And he might only give us the beginnings of a word. But it's as we act on it that God moves through us and people are built up. So I went to visit a friend recently, some church leaders, and I knew there was about 15 people there. I knew one or two people. And there was someone there who was going on a sabbatical. So they're only 3 months away from the ministry to be refreshed and to study and to travel. So everyone just gathered round them and prayed for them. I'd never met these people before. And as we waited for the Lord and all these people were praying, I just felt a stirring in my heart. And I began to see this picture in my mind of two pieces of wood kind of tightly screwed together. And it formed a structure. And there's just in my mind's eye, my imagination. And then I saw this hand come with a screwdriver and just start unscrewing the screw. And I felt in my heart that this was part of a prayer for these people. And I didn't know anyone there really, I mean, and a couple of people, but most people I didn't. I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe I should just keep myself to myself. But I really felt the Lord saying, you know, this is how it works. It's like you begin to speak, open your mouth and start praying, tell them about this picture you've got and see what happens. So I did that. I felt, okay, so I just started praying. I said, I feel like the Lord is showing me a picture of two pieces of wood tightly screwed in, and I can see this hand like unscrewing. And as I stepped out and started speaking, I felt the Spirit just stir in my heart, and the Lord is saying to you, I believe, that he's going to unwind. He's going to bring rest to you. He's unwinding in your life, and he's taking this structure apart in your sabbatical. And then he's going to build new structures for you. And so if I'd have kept that to myself, then nothing would have changed. I'm sure they'd still have a great sabbatical and we'd all just carry on. But there was a sense where a blessing came. It's just using that prophetic gift. And I feel that's what it was. It was as I stepped out, the Lord started speaking to them about new structures. And God didn't force me. And frankly, I hold my hands up in my times in ministry. There have been times when I have had stirrings and I thought, oh, I'm not in the mood today. And sometimes I've kind of afterwards thought, oh, I wish I'd have said something. And, you know, that's part of the learning process. And I had no idea what was going to start coming out of my heart and my mouth about restructuring. And the Spirit lives inside us as believers. God is inside you right now as a Spirit-filled believer. But I also believe He hovers over us. I think He hovers over us like He hovered over the chaos in creation. And then I think He's looking for eager hearts. The Word says that He hovers over people looking for hearts for God. It's like He's hovering over us. He's seeking hearts who want to exercise these gifts. He's seeking hearts that are open. It says in the Psalms that the Lord, we should open our mouths and God will fill our mouths. I love it. It's kind of a picture of a bird and a chick. And I have to get that in there. Yeah. So it's like chicks opening our mouths. It's like He's hovering around. And it's like a partnership. He comes to feed us and then we feed others. And if our hearts are open to receive and we're hungry and eager to have this gift work through us, the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to step out and respond to that and step out in faith and have Him speak through us. Which brings us to our final question. What are some important points for us to consider about the gift a prophecy? And I've kind of mentioned one or two already and crossover, but the first one is that prophecy always brings strengthening, encouragement and comfort. Always. So it might be that there's a correction and a loving, disciplined word in a sense, like a re-steering, a redirection, but even that will be strengthening and encouraging and comforting. Because Paul says that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, encouraging and comfort. So the Spirit empowers words for us that are upbuilding, always encouraging, not heavy or condemning. They're encouraging, they're strengthening, they're lifting up, they're comforting. I've heard stories of church leaders who've been leading services and someone stood up and given a really heavy, kind of moody, grumpy word for everybody. And the leaders have to stand up and say, I'm sorry, but as leaders, elders, we don't receive that. Because that's not New Testament prophecy. And I've heard of leaders who have had to take people aside. Because they're constantly speaking heavy and condemning words to the church. And they've had to say, look, we just don't think this is from the Spirit. We think you should take a bit of time out. And refresh and will help you. You know, don't just chuck people out. It's like, you know, it doesn't sound like this is from the Spirit. This is heavy and condemning. And it's important for us. It's always for our building up, strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Number two, there's something significant for us in the body of Christ and the gifts of Spirit about prophecy. Because Paul says to eagerly desire all the gifts, especially prophecy. Now that doesn't mean that the other gifts aren't important, but there's something especially encouraging about hearing the heart of God towards us, because it affirms that He's with us. It affirms that He cares for us. And we're especially built up because of this gift. I believe the emphasis is on prophecy because of the importance of us having strength, encouragement and comfort. Who needs strength, encouraging and comfort here? We all do. That's why he says especially prophecy. Not to say, whoa, prophecy is this big, amazing thing. It's to say because you need strengthening. This is a sad world, isn't it? And we need Jesus. And we know that this world is going to be redeemed. We know there's a groaning for the redemption of our bodies. There's a groaning for the restoration of creation. But in the meantime, in this age, we need the strength. We need the Lord. And that's why Paul, I believe, has said, especially prophecy. Because we need to be built up. And as I said, even a rebuke or a correction will bring hope for the future. One of my friends used to say that even when God whacks you round the head with a 2x4, you still feel loved. And it's true. I've had that in my life. People bringing prophetic words and encouragement, but it's like you're going the wrong way. And someone needs to tell you that. And that hurts. It's like, oh no, going the wrong way. But it's like, but hang on, I'm going to turn you around and I'm with you. I'm going to lead you. So it's all right. So even correction and rebuke and redirection, you feel loved. The other thing is prophecies confirm what God is already saying. So prophetic words from the heart of God will bring life and affirmation, usually to what God is already saying to us. Because the prophetic words from God, from the Spirit, are from the same Spirit that we're in relationship with. So it's not like this prophetic word's going to come in and be like a different person or something. It's like we're in relationship with God. We're remembering Christ, we're following Jesus, and it's like, oh yeah, it kind of resonates with us and encourages us because it confirms what we might be trying to work out, what God is already saying in our lives. Number 4, prophecies are always in line with the Word of God. So the Bible holds primary role for us in our lives as Christians, not just when looking at spiritual gifts. And we obviously regard the authority of Scripture as final. So a genuine prophetic word will always be in line with the Word of God. Number 5, and this is really encouraging for us, I think, we prophesy in part. So previously in the same letter, Paul has said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. So I like the New Living Translation where it says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. So I used to be a bit disappointed in that verse, saying, are we prophesying in part? That's a bit disappointing. What's going on? You know, what's the point in it if it's only in part? We want the fullness here. But then I discovered that this is actually really liberating because it means that we can relax. It means we can say, look, I'm not going to get everything perfect here. Not everything's going to... We're not rewriting the Bible. It's New Testament prophecy. It's doing our best in Christ to express the heart of God to people. And that means that there's space for us to make mistakes. And I find that encouraging. Because I think we need to relax and say, you know, oh my gosh, we've got a prophetic word. Oh, you know, I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to send them the wrong way. What's going to happen? I'm going to look stupid. Oh my gosh. It's just relax. We're a family. And so we can know the peace of God and speak encouragement, knowing that there's space for us to grow and make mistakes. And we want to be a church that encourages people to have a go. We want to have that heart. I think the Lord is pleased with the heart that, you know, like with David, a man after his own heart. He just wants to see these gifts come through him and bless others. I think God likes it. And it's like we give prophecy with an open hand. We say, I feel this is from the Lord. I offer this to you. Pray about it. Think about it. Moving on to number 6. Prophetic words can be weighed. So it says again, 2 or 3 prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. So that tells me that the receivers of a prophetic word have a responsibility as well. So if somebody brings you a prophetic word, then you have a responsibility with that word to weigh it, to think about it, to pray about it. I've heard stories, sad stories, of people getting prophetic words and being offended that it wasn't what they liked and then made decisions from that place, because it didn't appear to me that they were weighing it. Because it's like they got this word, it's, oh, we don't like that, that's terrible, oh my gosh. So they didn't say, okay, well, this isn't, you know, Jesus coming out of the cloud saying, this is New Testament prophecy, this is a broken vessel trying their best to bless someone with a prophetic word, so it needs to be weighed. And that's okay, you can shelve it. You don't have to receive it immediately and say, oh my gosh, it's something to be thought about and prayed about. And we can give that to the Lord. We can take it to a friend or a trusted leader and see if it's from God or not. And there's a guy called Dave Holden who's got experience in this. He says that if someone's going to give you an individual word, then go and get a friend to listen as well, so you can both discern. Someone says, I've got a prophetic word for you. You say, that's amazing. Can I just go and get my friend? We're going to listen to it. They bring the word. And then you can go with your friend and say, what did you think about that? It sounded a bit strange. Or, oh my gosh, that was from the Lord. That was amazing. And so you've got someone else to help. There's a bit of accountability there. And I also think part of what weighing the word means, the word for glory in the Hebrew is connected to weight. So sometimes when God gives a prophetic word, there's a weight on it. You can feel the glory of God on it. And I did feel that with like Ruth and Samoy and Abigail. There's a sense where the weight of His presence is on it. It's not only just praying about it, thinking about it, shall I shelve it, what shall I do? Is there a weight of God's presence on it? There are times, not that many, but there are times in my life when there have been prophetic words corporately and it's just changed the atmosphere of the room. There's like a weight of God's presence. And then individual words as well. You just start weeping. You just start feeling the weight of the... And that's part of weighing. It's weighing up prophecy. Is there an anointing on it? Is there something on this? Number 7. Sometimes God will give us words that are direction for people. And if we receive prophetic words of direction, we need to weigh that up as well. And so remembering again that when we prophesy, we're prophesying in part. And when giving words about direction, if you feel the Lord stirring your heart to give a word about direction, we need to just remember and keep in mind that there are plenty of people who have been doing this for a long time that say it's recommended, not a law, but it's recommended that you kind of steer away from mates and dates. So it's not advisable to tell people that they're going to meet someone next week because a lot can go wrong. I'm not saying don't, because, you know, God might do that, but I just would strongly recommend against that. And also it's best to avoid dates. Saying specific, you know, next March this thing's going to happen, because, you know, you might have to live with that if it doesn't happen. And so I would advise against that. And if you do feel like there's a date stirring up in your heart, I would just say to that, I feel this from the Lord, that it's coming soon. It's on its way. So in your heart, you can say to God, I think it's going to be March 10th or next week. And if it is, you can kind of giggle with God and go, oh. But, you know, it's a risk, isn't it, if you say next month. So it's, you know, it's that heart of, you know, it's not saying definitely don't, but just it's not recommended. Number 8, and there's 10 by the way, so we're near the end. Number 8, pictures or impressions that we might get, and I found this interesting, they're embryonic prophecies. So you can get a picture and it's like a little baby prophecy. So you can start thinking about it and praying about it. And I believe that may have happened when I got that picture of those two pieces of wood. It was like God just gave me that picture. It's like a little something giving birth, like a little embryo. And then as I'm praying and thinking, and eventually I start to speak out, it comes out into a prophecy where I'm saying, I believe God is going to restructure your life and bring new framework to your life. So I found that quite interesting. Number 9. We kind of get into details here, but Don't be too concerned about having to write these things down if you get a prophetic word for somebody. Sometimes it's good to write them down, and I've done that in certain situations. But there's a sense where we don't want to lose that spontaneous dynamic, where if God's stirring a word for us for someone, it's spontaneous. And so we want to keep that fresh. And number 10, all this stuff about the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, it's not some weird, strange, mystical, cloudy reality that turns us into weird people or changes our voice. The Spirit is in you and me. We have the treasure of Christ in jars of clay. We're broken vessels. You know, God doesn't expect us to suddenly turn into someone and say, I feel like the Lord is saying. It's just me. It's just you. It's just us. God is in us. Let's keep this earthy and real. It's okay. And the Spirit will work through us as we are. We won't always get it right. And there are people who seem to operate in the prophetic really accurately. And that's okay. I think it's all right. I've been to places where people are calling out phone numbers and names and addresses in the prophetic. And I think that's all well and good. That might happen to you. You know, you might suddenly get that kind of thing happen. But what I'm talking about here is this kind of general understanding is us as a body of believers moving in the prophetic, being open to the prophetic, being humble before God, eager to see these gifts work through us, just to bring words of encouragement to us, to bring words of strength. And we want to be a church where people have a go, and we want to give people encouragement for having a go, because this gift of prophecy is an amazing gift. It's a wonderful gift. So speaking of eagerly desiring and having a go, as I mentioned, there's a few different ways and exercises that we can use and practice the gift. So it kind of feels a bit pointless to just talk about it and not actually engage practically. So I've asked Samoy, my wife, if she would lead us in an exercise that helps us practice this gift. So would you like to come up some more?
So eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we prophesy, and then Paul said we all can prophesy. We all can. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And what is the testimony of Jesus? That he loves us. That's why all prophecies are for uplifting, edifying, and building up the church. Because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And his testimony is on the cross. So, we do a few exercises. We've done this before. It's Jesus in the womb. And so I find it helpful to sometimes have my eyes shut, natural eyes shut, so that I engage with my imagination. We are firmly and safely in the love of Jesus. Jesus is our gate, so we're not engaging with anything other than Jesus' finished work. So we're not having any other spiritual practice, but we are in practicing our spiritual gift, that is prophecy. And it's basically encouragement. And sometimes you might see an image. If I say to you the Great Wall of China, in your mind, you see it already, yes? That is how it's done. And if I say to you Over the Rainbow, that song, somewhere, and you can hear it in your mind, that song. And sometimes you may even feel, I say, oh, there's a strong wind. And you can feel in your heart the movement of the wind. It's the same thing in the spirit as it is in the natural. So If you would like, let's we can practice Jesus in the womb. And so so we will use our imagination and engage with Jesus, engage with the Holy Spirit, and that we can keep a few minutes. And then if you feel that you can feel where Yeshua is, you can raise your hand and then tell us what he is doing. All right, so just a couple of minutes, and then we'll do something even more practical. We just want to engage with our hearts with Jesus. So if you find it helpful, you can close your eyes. I can sense that Yeshua is in the womb, like in Psalms 23, that he's our shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we adore you. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for living in us. You are with us. You are in us. We see your presence. We see your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Eunice feel Jesus in her heart in this room.
When I pray, I see the lion, like Aslan, walking up and down the aisles and just blowing slowly down each row, his presence.
That's powerful. I can see that.
This is what God said to me. He said, I have put out my hand, I've outstretched it out for you, and I am blessing you all.
Yes.
Just got a picture of like almost like a force field on just the inside of this room, and it's Jesus, and it's just kind of going all the way around, and it's kind of different colours, and it's like a protection, and yeah.
So good. Anyone else?
Been meditating on Jesus' words to the Samaritan woman. Says, you don't have to worship at this mountain or that mountain, but two things: salvation is of the Jews. So God has somehow chosen that that people, Judah, to reveal himself to the rest of us. And then God is spirit. And those who worship him, when you call upon the name of Jesus in truth, with an honest heart, God hears you. And you just fool around and pretend, God cannot be fooled.
Thank you. That's powerful, the line of Judah. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus is dancing around Joel Condon, full of love. And as he dances around her, there's living water around her and in her, in the movement, the train of Yeshua's dance around her. Hallelujah.
What I see in this place, it starts water like a river, and then people, they took their shoes to not get wet, but the water is going up their neck, and then it goes to the, I see like, I don't know how I explain, the water is flooded, and then till their shoulder.
Hallelujah, the living water of Yeshua. Yes, yes. So good, Father. So we cannot see, we cannot hear, we cannot feel in our spirit. So why don't we now move on to the next exercise. What we're going to do, we're going to maybe find a volunteer. Who shall it be? Thank you, Father. Julie, you don't have to come up. You can stay there. So, it's a small technique. It's called first impression. So, I just practice. Because I just ask Father, who? And then Father just said, Julie. So, first impression. So, let's have a prophetic word. Each of us have a, you may have a picture, you might have a word of the Bible, or you may even just have one word like sunshine or something, and it will all knit together and it will all make sense. And let's engage with the Holy Spirit, engage with Father, and we give for the purpose and the love to Julie. Yeah. So I have some pen and paper here. It is a good practice to perhaps to write down what you see to Julie. So someone will come around with some pen and paper for you. But right now, let's engage with Father and give a prophetic word or picture. To Julie. Thank you, Father.
Julie, I feel I just had a vision of you kneeling before the Lord, and he stretched out his hand towards your head, and his words were, "Julie, I'm with you always, even to the end of time."
Wow, powerful.
I just felt God saying this. You are loved. You are not alone. I have never abandoned you. Seek me and you will find me.
Wow, you see, we draw from one spirit, what George said and what Abigail said. It's just flow from the same place.
Julie, these words just came to me when I was thinking about you, and God sees you as the spiritual matriarch of your family.
Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
I just got a word from Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland.
Yes.
Julie, Jesus is holding you in his everlasting arms, not just you, but your entire family.
Word for you, Julie, from Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord knows, for I know the thoughts or the plans I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts or plans of peace, shalom, and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So the Lord is not clueless.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. I'm so encouraged. Thank you, Father.
So Judah had a word that just popped open in his heart. It's just one word for Julie, and that word is
love.
So good. So good. Hallelujah. Yeah, I just see this sea of marshmallow, and then each of the marshmallow has that word on its love. Marshmallow, sea of marshmallow love. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I feel the same, and I see the same for Julie, and it says you are loved by the Lord, our Savior. He is your refuge. He is your rock. So the Lord is telling me to tell you to read Psalm 18, verse 2. anytime you feel discouraged, read these verses and know that you are being loved by our Savior. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, remind me of where it's in John. Even though trials and tribulations may come, take heart, for I have overcome the world, and always hold on to God's promise.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. When we practice spiritual things, sometimes we might feel anxious because there is a time of quietness or a time of silence. But that is just the fact that if you feel that, it's just the fact that you are practicing, you are running, you are doing the stuff. So there's no worry about being silent, being waiting. If there's a space in front of you and you're like, oh, I didn't hear anything, and that's absolutely fine. Because practice, practice, practice. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Be very confident in your gift, that is the Holy Spirit, and that you can encourage others. It's like playing football when you train to score a penalty. So you started with an empty goal, right? So what we just done is like that. Now, I'm going to up your faith. I'm going to put a goalkeeper in front of this penalty shootout. I'm not going to tell you who you are prophesying to, but you are going to think, engage with Father, a word like what we just did to Julie, but you would not know who that is. At the end, after we have all given the word, and then I will tell you who we are engaging with the Father to bless. Are you up? Yeah? Again, don't have to worry about silence. There is space. It's just we are practicing a unique thing. So, Paul is like game show host. He wants me to write the name down and put it away. All right. All right, so thank you, Father. Now, who we are blessing, who we are prophesying to, engaging Father with to give encouragement is there, the name. And let's go. Thank you, Father.
wave them in, you have a word already.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who is it, but the Lord is saying to me that I see like joy, I see like peace, and the word I can echo in my ear is trusting the Lord to the end. Just trusting Him. Amen.
I had a really lovely picture of, well, black, dark clouds, but then with the sun breaking through after a storm, and then the words, God's promises are yes and amen.
Yes. Yes.
Before Abby said that, I'd written down, but wasn't 100% sure, a picture of a dark cloud coming across, and I was like, oh, that's not encouraging, and that sense of, uh-oh, but then the rain stops, so the cloud comes across, and it's raining, and it's really quite dark, and then the rain stops, and then flowers grow up and pop up. And I've written, it turns out the rain was a good thing.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I wasn't really 100% sure about it, but it just kept on being in my heart. This is for a word for someone. Let go of the stress and keep your eyes on me. Rest in me. Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Thank you, Father. So encouraging. So encouraging. If you really want to practice, why don't you ask Father who that is?
And so I got a picture of a volcano that was, the lava hadn't erupted, but that was the time that you were spending in God's presence, and it's about to erupt. And the lava is the fire of God, so as it erupts, it's going to flow. And if you've ever seen a volcano erupting, the lava just goes everywhere, and you don't know where that blessing is going to go, but the blessing is going to bless so many people. So keep spending time in God's presence, and let that lava bubble ready to erupt.
That's so good. Wow, that's so powerful.
Yeah, probably in line with that. Psalm 23. Being in covenant with God, you can confidently say, surely goodness and mercy follow me. And like our sisters just said about dwelling in God's presence, that as you dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, so may you know that goodness and mercy, strength and peace.
Yes, Father. Yes. Yes.
I think from my end, I just one word, I think for leaders of the church, discernment.
The word is?
Discernment.
Very good. Wow. So good.
It probably does tie in this. It's just before Abby said something, I was thinking about Abby, and then it went to Ruth, and Ruth was talking about the dark clouds. But what I saw in my head was, I saw View Hill Park, but I saw Abby's house, and it sounds a bit desperate. It was a bit like Superman, you know, and kryptonite. I felt that the sunshine was like, there was all this strength in the sunshine, but it was going into Abby's house. So I want to encourage her, really, you know, because some days we just wake up, don't we, and we haven't got any strength, or we feel a bit down, that I felt like the sunshine was just like God's strength coming to her.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Anyone else? That's so powerful. Practice, practice, practice. Do you have something? Very good. Judith, are you going to get a paper? And read out the name.
Ray.
So, we've been drawing from Father and gave Ray an encouragement. And Marcus, you've no idea, like, Ray is such a wise, wise elder. So definitely discernment, and we pray that you encourage. So if you have written down your words, if you can give them to Julie and Ray, that would be very, very appreciated. And again, it is like a muscle that you practice, and more you engage with the Father, the more you yourself would build your style and your voice in the prophetic. And so, you know, absolutely not being afraid of that empty space that is in front of you, because Father is not going to run out of love. He just so wants to bless all of us, and so he always has encouragement for us and for others. Thank you.
Well done, Samoy. Thanks for that. That was awesome. There's so much weight and all of that. Just probably talk for a long time, but I won't. That's just so encouraging. And so, yeah, thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I just pray that you would continue to pour your Spirit out on us as a people, that we would represent Christ in this place in many ways, Lord. In your ways, that we would do the one thing of loving you in so many different ways. And you would keep protecting us and growing us and helping us, filling us with your love, that we can love you and love others and walk in your forgiveness, that we might forgive each other. I just thank you for what you're doing in among us as a family. And just thank you for today and all that you've blessed us with today, Lord. And just before we close, tea and coffee is available next door. So do please stay around for that. If you want any prayer for anything specifically, or if you've got any questions about today, come and see us at the front, and we'd love to help you. So I'll just close with this word from the Apostle Paul. He's worked through the truth that Jesus is alive, and he says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain." So be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.